whose image and inscription do you bear? Jesus uses this trap set by the Pharisees to teach us a deeper lesson about human dignity. Because the Pharisees thought they were going to catch Jesus, either siding with the Romans by endorsing the census tax, or by advocating civil disobedience against Rome. But Jesus takes us one step further. As Christians, we have dual citizenship. Yes, we are members of the earthly city, and so we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. We pay taxes, obey just laws. We contribute to peace and justice in society, and so on. But we have a dignity and a purpose far beyond all this. From the very first page of the Bible, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." And it was so. In the divine image, God created him. Male and female, he created them. God's image isn't something we carry around like money in our pocket. It's our very identity. So we're made in the image and likeness of God because we're given the faculties of reason and will. We have free choice. So if we put those two together, we're able to make free choices. We're able to love. Because love, if it's true love, has to be a free choice. And so today's gospel reminds us about our dignity as adopted children of God because we're made in his image and likeness. And so we give to God what belongs to God. We give him what is his, namely ourselves, because we're made in his image. We give him ourselves. We give him the time that is due to him in prayer. We give him his due. As the psalm said this morning, give the Lord glory and honor. Today we also celebrate World Mission Sunday, a day on which we pray for missionaries throughout the world, and we also ponder our own call to be evangelizers. It's providential, then, that the saints we celebrate today on October 19th are the North American martyrs, 8 Jesuit missionaries who evangelized our own land in what is now upstate New York, Ontario, and Quebec in the 17th century. They worked tirelessly for the conversion of the Native Americans, and they were willing to lay down their lives for the name of Jesus and also to convert their captors. Now, Jesuit missionaries going to the New World, they expected that they would face death, but they believed that it was worth it, that this was their chance of converting those they encountered and also being saved themselves. And so I'll highlight just 2 of the North American martyrs. The first one, St. Isaac Jogues. He was a daring missionary. He was very bold in proclaiming the gospel. But after only 6 years of working in the New World, he was captured. And in fact, his thumbs and his forefingers were chewed off such that he was not able to celebrate the Mass because he wasn't able to elevate the host. Now, fortunately for him, he escaped and was able to make a return back to Europe, where he was acclaimed by the Pope as a martyr of Christ, really as a living martyr. But he was so zealous that he stayed in Europe only 1 year. He was eager to get back and continue his evangelization work. And he was again captured and later martyred. The other example is St. Jean de Brébeuf. Now, he was known for his patience, and especially as a linguist. In fact, he wrote a catechism in the Huron language. He put in the time not only to learn the language, but also to teach the people in their own language. He also converted many, but was soon taken prisoner. And as a way to mock the baptism he preached, they poured boiling water on his head. He was later beaten to a pulp and then flayed and burned alive. But through the midst of his tortures, he continued to speak about God and the rewards of heaven in an attempt to win over his torturers, who were so impressed by his perseverance and his courage that many of them converted after his death. And so the heroic lives and even more heroic deaths of these men can give us courage as we continue their missionary work here in North America. One other missionary I'd like to highlight today is Pope Paul VI. Now, his entire papacy was geared towards evangelization, and earlier this morning, he was beatified by our Holy Father in Rome. So beatification means that he is one step away from being canonized a saint. And Pope Paul VI once said, "The church exists to evangelize." Consider that. The church exists to evangelize. And so as members of the church, we also exist in order to evangelize. But what does that mean? What does it mean to evangelize? Do we have to go to some far-off country, preach the gospel, and be martyred? No. No, because in 2001, St. John Paul II outlined the church's program for evangelization in the new millennium. The first step highlighted by St. John Paul II, the foundational step in evangelization, is to contemplate the face of Christ. To contemplate the face of Christ. Because Christ is at the center of the transformation. So we have to encounter Jesus in word and sacrament before we can take him to others. And so personal holiness is so vital in successful evangelization. That holiness that comes to us through contact with Jesus. That contact that we assimilate through prayer and through receiving the sacraments. Only then, after contemplating the face of Christ, can we fulfill step two, the second step of the program, in becoming witnesses of this love. Blessed Paul VI once said that modern man listens more willingly to witnesses rather than teachers. But if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. So we too have to become witnesses by the way we live our lives. I've noticed that people today need to hear about our own personal witness, our individual testimony. And personally, I love to hear about the ways that God is at work in the lives of others. At the seminary, each man is trying to craft a 2-minute testimony, what we call a personal testimony, of why we believe. But it has to be personal. It has to be individual. For example, if someone asked you, "Why are you a Catholic?" or "Why do you believe in God?" what would you say? We need to get comfortable talking about our relationship with Jesus and the reasons for our hope in God. And so I ask you this morning, why do you believe? And could you answer in 2 minutes or less? For some, it's the example of the martyrs. That's the reason right there. What possessed numerous Christians from the early church, the North American martyrs, all the way up to our own day, what possessed them to endure such horrific tortures? Love. They didn't die for an idea. They died for a person, Jesus Christ, who gives us the ultimate example of love and of suffering for the truth. Others undergo an intellectual conversion. It makes rational sense that there is a God who created us, who created the entire universe, and keeps it in existence in his love. For others, it's the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, that we have the opportunity to receive him every Sunday and even every day of the week. For me, it's gratitude. I've been blessed to be a Catholic all my life, to have studied and lived the faith for many years. And as the psalmist said, "How can I make a return to the Lord for all the good that he has done for me?" God has blessed me abundantly, and it's only right that I praise him, that I thank him in return. But every person is different. We all face different joys and sorrows, different upbringings, different struggles. We just need to be able to articulate, yes, out loud and concisely, the reason that we believe. And if you can do this, you'll be an evangelizer right from the comfort of your own home. But then you'll be able to take that love, to take that encounter to everyone that you meet. So take it to prayer this week. Challenge yourself with that question. Why do I believe in God? Contemplate the face of Christ and then take him to the world. Every Sunday, the risen Lord invites us to join him on the first day of the week, on Sunday, just like he met with the disciples in the upper room on that day of the resurrection, in order to breathe on them, to breathe on them his life-giving spirit, and to launch them forward on the adventure, the great adventure that is evangelization. So let's go forward in hope, because a new springtime is upon us. A springtime is opening up before the church, and we hope in Christ. Because Christ, who is active in the early church, was active in the lives of the North American martyrs, is still active in our church today. We just need discerning eyes to see this and generous hearts to become his instruments, the instruments in his work of evangelization. And so whose image and inscription do you bear? We are made in the image and likeness of God, who calls us to be evangelizers, to spread his message of love and peace in a world so desperately in need of good news. And that's the word, that's what gospel means, good news. The world that so desperately needs the good news that Jesus alone can bring. May God bless you.